Hello everybody, welcome to the Pillar Talk podcast where two friends talk about Demon Slayer. I'm Josh.
Friends, I'm Mike.
And today, the insubordination continues. Because Mutt is still the captain of the ship, and I have been left hogtied in a generator room somewhere, muffled, screaming for dear life.
Get in the basement, stay in there, you're not coming out. This is my show now, I'm the captain now, and you will do what I say. But for this week, we are episode 5, called My Own Steel, as you told me 2 minutes ago, as I forgot it.
Onore no Hagane. I'm sprinkling that in for the culture.
Nori no. So that's no seaweed. What's Hagane?
I assume steel.
No seaweed steel. Yeah. So, episode opens and it's a recap, right? We are seeing Tanjiro dispatching the many-armed Hydra demon. And it's just recapping in the juicy last parts of the previous episode where he's talking about his opening threat. But then we get a flashback. And suddenly everything's black and white, and we are seeing a demon running away from a demon slayer. And so the setup is the demon is killing a bunch of people. We see a bunch of people in black and white, the dead, there's blood pouring everywhere, demons feeding, and then suddenly demon slayer comes in. And did you pick up who the demon slayer was at this point, Josh?
Bit hard not to. It was, right? Of course, Urukadaki. Yeah, it's a flashback to Hydra Demon's past, and he was a lot smaller and cuter at that point.
Yeah, he had like these big sable eyes, like nice big and yellow, and you're like, oh wow, that's almost cute. No homo, but yeah.
He was a little baby.
He was a babe, right? And like a little fledgling demon babe, right? And at this point, I'm still wondering, right? Oh, it sort of looks like Urukodaki. Oh, I think that's one of the demons that, you know, Tanjiro encountered in the final selection, because by the time we see him again, he's, what, 10 times bigger, he's got 300 more arms, so it's sort of hard at that point to sort of put the picture together unless you're looking specifically at the eyes, right? But then as the flashback keeps going on and you start to piece it together, right? This is the story of how Urukodaki-san captured this demon 47 years ago, okay? And so, flashback, you see the demon has been decapitated by Tanjiro. He's slowly dissolving into the ether or into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And then there's a zoom up into Tanjiro's face. And did you pick up the emotion on his face, Josh?
He was sad.
Right? Why do you think that is?
It just speaks to the nature of Tanjiro, isn't it? I mean, he obviously feels very in tune with a lot of emotions that goes on around him. And, well, because his sense of smell is so strong, he can actually smell the demon sadness. And I think that really does hammer home the point that we sometimes forget that these demons used to be humans as well. And it is an interesting insight into the psyche of the demons, because we assume that becoming a demon turns them evil, but we don't know how much of it is by choice or by circumstance. We don't know if whether the blood itself activates something in them that turns them malicious. So when we saw Tanjiro's smelling this demon sadness, we realized, oh, there was a human in there. A human that had once forgotten his past, but now it's resurfacing as he's dying.
Yeah, and it was sad, right? Like, completely agree with you, right? There's almost like this element of bloodlust when you become a demon and you go into this berserker's frenzy.
Yep.
And only at death where that clarity comes. And then what we see next is almost like there's this story of the demon, right? Before he became a demon. And he was just a little kid who wanted to hold his bigger brother's hand.
Yeah.
And it's almost as if there's this lost soul of that demon is as you said, that's trapped inside there and is being guided towards the light now that now that he's slain and he's moving on to a better place. Yeah. And at least Tanjiro hopes he's moving on to a better place.
I really like what they do with this. Because this won't be the first time you'll be seeing this. With a lot of major demons that Tanjiro slays in the future, we are given a little bit of insight into the backstory of the demons that he faces. Do you like it? Do you like it when the story hits a little bit of a pause button to show you these flashbacks, or do you rather that they just move on?
No, I like it, right? Because it's quite nice that they pay tribute almost to these demons as they've been killed, you know? Normally in a lot of these shows, demons killed focuses solely on the hero, and it's this sort of black and white. But then I really like when they have these little segments in between, because they start to introduce the grayness of it, right?
Mm.
The fact that, you know, these were just people before they became demons, and they have stories too, and they have backgrounds too.
Yeah.
And what I really like about it is because it adds another layer now. Every time I look at a demon, I'm starting to wonder, okay, who were you? What were you before you were a demon? Was it something cool? Were you a normal person?
Yep. And they all... I mean, they all had their own backstories, of course.
Mm.
And more often than not, you could say they have died twice, right?
Yeah.
They died once. Yeah. They died once as people, and then they had to go through the pain again of dying as a demon and rediscovering themselves. I think that the stories matter because it adds weight to Tanjiro's crusade of trying to heal his sister. Because if he doesn't, there is no other fate.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a really good segue, right? Because at this point, this is where all 17 of Urukodaki's students appear. And then Tanjiro now is like, all right, cool. Rest easy, all of you kids with face bait, fox marks on your face. But, you know, GG, all done. I've killed the monster. You can all go to Mount Sagiri as the resting place.
Yeah, because that was a cut to a different scene, and then we just see all 17 of them just standing there looking at the screen.
Yeah,
and then they all
disappear.
Yeah,
just poof. Just like, okay, closure. This little tiny story arc is done. You know, what was interesting to me is there's never been any mention of Mount Sagiri yet, right? This is the first time they've brought it up.
No, I think they did mention it in episode 1 or episode 2. Mount Sagiri is where Urukodaki stays.
Okay.
I think so, yeah.
All right, so it's just like, all right, kids, your resting place is Mount Sagiri, go and chill, right?
I guess.
But then there is no rest for Tanjiro because it's back to the final selection, right? And back to the segue that I was talking about from your last point, it's you would think it's all sort of, you know, downhill from here, right? Because downhill in the sense it's easy because he's killed the hardest boss demon. Now he's just dealing with pleb demons, right?
Forgot that it wasn't over yet, actually. I thought it was like, okay, big boss demon done, which is basically your victory. Nope, he still has to fight a bunch of small demons.
Could you imagine if one of these pleb demons just got him?
Yeah, gets mucked by a... What's the word for it? You know what I mean.
Do I?
Small guys. What do you call a kelefe in English? Words are escaping me at the moment.
What do you call it?
Minions. Get murked by minions.
What the fuck is a kelefe?
You don't know what kelefe is?
I don't know what kelefe is. What is it? You talking Greek?
No, Cantonese. Or Mandarin. One of those Chinese languages.
Yeah, obviously, because I speak those languages.
You speak more than me at any rate.
Kelefe.
Yeah, and he's interviewing them as he's killing them.
Right? How good was that, right? Because he's literally going... Tell me how to turn my sister back into a human.
Exactly. It's like, can you tell me how you stop being you, which will benefit me, but might also benefit you.
But not immediately benefit you, because my need is more important than your need at this point, but maybe I'll get back to... Oh, wait, I've killed you. I'm sorry.
Oh, too late.
So, but we see him chop, chop, chop a few demons. But I think what they were trying to just communicate here is that Tanjiro is still very task focused, right?
Mm-hmm.
The final selection is just, yeah, cool. He's trying to become a demon slayer. But his ultimate task is still converting Nezuko back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Getting his Hisola Wululu on and getting her back into the other side. When that sort of... That's just sort of his main mission. And now he's killed all the demons. 7 days have gone by. Fast forward, he ends up in the bottom of the Wisteria trees. So he's out of the hill. And GG.
What did he eat during those 7 days?
Actually, you know, I was just wondering when we said that, could you imagine that one of those pleb demons or this kid it is. Didn't get in. Could you imagine if he ate the wrong mushroom and just straight up died of dysentery?
I
What a
mean,
shitty end that would be.
maybe he ate the remains of the kids that the demons didn't eat.
Oh, that's dark, dude.
I'm just saying it's a possibility.
A guy like Tanjiro?
Yeah, he's probably like,
Oh,
food should
yeah.
not be going to waste.
That's probably why he's got the superhuman strength, right? Because he's straight up eating other humans.
That's the way it works.
You eat the thing you want to be.
Which is more human. He becomes
I want to be more human than you.
more man.
Okay, fast forward. We're now with four survivors who have made it. Bottom of the hill. Now, these four survivors, Josh, the
Bottom?
first thing that
Bottom of the
struck
hill?
me,
Top of the hill? Some part of the hill.
they're at some undisclosed location off this hill where four of them have gathered. What immediately strikes me is that all of these guys are main character material,
Oh yeah, the designs.
right?
You can tell from the unimportant people designs and the main character designs.
Right? Do you remember the pleb designs, the Killefer
Oh yeah, they all
designs?
look alike.
Right? All
Yeah.
like this muddy brown or olive green robes, and all of them have like nondescript black hair, and they're all pussies. And then what?
I wonder why. I mean, I get it that you want to sort of place more emphasis and focus on the main characters, but I don't know why you have to treat the rest of them so badly, as if they are just untalented plebs.
My take on it is much more depressing than that. It's
Okay.
just that they're not worth spending money on because animating and designing costs money.
Yeah. Drawing takes much it takes time.
Takes time and money. Not worth spending money on characters that are not going to be developed. Fuck it.
That's true, that's true. No, but just the way that they behave, right? You would think that they have a little bit more skill or at least impetus to be better. I mean, you are going for a final selection exam, right? I assume you've trained. I
Oh,
assume
what if some of these kids are just brought there like hostages?
a little bit like The Witcher.
Yeah.
See what I mean when I told you outside of this podcast that it felt very similar.
No, but okay.
Okay.
It's the same thing, right? This is the trial of the grasses, right? And it's a numbers game. The more numbers you put in, technically, the more numbers come out.
Unless you're an Urukodaki student.
Yeah, then your chances of surviving are literally 1 in 18. But okay, so four survivors, all of them main character sort of material, right? Kid in yellow, angry kid with a mohawk, butterfly girl, and Tanjiro. Now, mohawk kid is getting really, really triggered, right? He's sitting there, he just goes like, I want my fucking katana. Give me my fucking katana. And he's like yanking the girl.
Yeah, he's pulling her
The
hair.
girl with yeah, this girl with sunken eyes by her hair.
Yeah.
So like why do you think he's so like up in ass about his katana?
I don't know. I think he just wants to become a demon slayer immediately. He
Yeah.
thinks that's how it works. Oh, but before then, the creepy girls that welcome them at the beginning of the exam, they're the ones that are there now. And they read them the 10 ranks of the core, right?
That's right.
Do you remember the ranks?
I was gonna write them down, then I said, "Fuck it. Who actually does that?" So I remembered the only one that they are right now, which is a Mizunoto.
Yeah, okay, I got the rest, all right? So it's
Are we
Mizuno.
doing
Yeah,
this?
we are doing it, we are doing it.
Are we doing this?
We're
Fuck,
gonna
are we
do
doing
it for
this?
only one very important reason, okay?
What's that? What's that?
I'll do it, and then I'll tell you.
No, you
Relax.
have to justify yourself before you take all this time.
Okay, here we go. Mizunoto,
Oh,
Mizunoe,
fucking
Kanoto,
hell.
Kanoe, Tsuchinoto, Tsuchinoe, Hinoto, Hinoe, Kinoto, Kinoe. So, two things here.
Yeah.
One very interesting way that they've named it is that all of these ranks are named after a certain element. So,
Oh,
Mizu,
okay.
for example, the start, Mizu, it's water.
Miso?
Water.
Oh, not miso.
Yeah. Then there's Tsuchi, which is earth. Hinoto, I think it's fire.
Did you just have a stroke?
I don't know, I'm uncertain. The second important point, why I bring this up and why I read it out to you, is because this means jack all in the future, because it's never brought up again. As you were.
Why you like this?
Well, it is interesting, right? I mean, they spent so much time on it. I thought it would like figure into the story a little bit more somehow. But no.
Yeah.
Never brought up again.
Yep. So, moving on.
Sorry. Oh, they get crows too. They get Kasugai.
Oh, okay.
Kasugai,
okay.
Garasu.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So now, the girls are explaining, right, that they have to choose the ore for their katanas, right?
Yeah.
Now it's going to take about 10 to 15 business days for their katanas to be ready, and they have to choose the ores. And they also get assigned, as you say, right, a Kasugai crow. It's like a hand phone, right? It's their communication system. And I find really, really funny now, watching back at it, that the loudest, most annoying piece of shit fucking character gets a sparrow, which is actually the quietest, most like little sounding bird of the bunch.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, for the gag, for the reasons of the gag, but yeah. I don't understand why though.
Yeah, neither do I. But purely for the lulz, I'm okay with that.
So there's four kids, right? So there's Tanjiro, girl, Scar, and yellow hair guy. Yellow hair guy gets the sparrow. Yeah,
but they all have scars, so you can't call him Scar.
Big Scar guy.
Big Scar guy. Angry katana guy.
Yeah, angry katana guy wants his katana.
So now the ore is over there. And what does Tanjiro do, Josh, to pick the best ore?
Obviously, he smells it. It's the only thing he can do.
Smells it. What would good ore even smell like?
It smells good, I guess.
Is there even a right choice, honestly?
I don't know. He walked forward with purpose, though. You know, right? So it was like before then. Tanjiro steps up to this angry Scarface guy who has the examiner's hair in his hands, because he's pulling her hair because he's angry that he wants his sword. And then Tanjiro goes,
Tanjiro's full on white knight, right?
Yeah, grabs his arm and says, "Let go or break your arm." And he goes, "Try it." And Tanjiro tries it, and the guy goes, "Okay, I'm sorry."
Good effort.
And then we go get to the ore.
Yeah.
And Tanjiro smells the ore.
Oh yeah, that was weird, right? Smelling a right choice. But then what I found super interesting was next, dude. And we get a snippet, a little scene of what we can only assume is the leader of the Demon Slayer, I think. Getting a Kasugai crow.
Yes.
Telling him how many kids got through this final selection, Josh?
13. Five. The answer was five.
Yeah. I was just like, do I know my numbers? What?
Were we watching the same thing?
Does everybody get a different version of this?
But yeah, five kids. Where's the fifth kid? I don't know.
Yeah, who is the fifth kid? Is it ever revealed?
Is that a real question? Like, are you really asking me? Or are we doing this for the sake of the podcast and trying to build intrigue?
Well, that's defeated now, so let's keep going.
Yes, we do find out.
Hobble, 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 cripple, cripple, cripple. Tanjiro's on his way back home. And lo and behold, as he comes over the apex of the road near his house, who should wake up? Nezuko.
Yeah. And her entrance back into the cartoon is a very interesting one. She opens the door by kicking it open. Like, not just kicking it open, but kicking the front door open off its hinges. I'm like, is that how she gets in and out of the house every day, every night?
Urokodaki forever repairing those. Oh no, he's gonna go bankrupt. The economics of doors. He can't afford all these doors.
Imagine if we got a flashback to that just happening every day. We cut forward to the time that Tanjiro gets back. And Nezuko is gone. Urokodaki just goes, "Don't know, she didn't make it." But he killed her because she just kept ruining his doors.
So many doors. Oh no. Okay. So Tanjiro collapses because he's hurt. Nezuko comes over, hugs him. They have a very sweet moment, which is interrupted by the creepy uncle hug that Urokodaki gives them.
You found that creepy? I thought it was so touching.
I found it creepy for a few reasons, right?
Right.
I found it creepy because, one, okay, sure, Urokodaki's been with you for the last 2 years looking after Nezuko and you. Get it? You're close, right? What really got me was it's like, oh, Lul, you're alive. Hug.
Oh, no, I just okay. Okay, man. Okay, dead inside.
I'm
Okay, I
sorry.
can't
It's
feel
not.
anything.
It's not. Like, I don't want to be this way. It's just what I am. But to me, it's just like when Urokodaki then talks to him about the demon, and Tanjiro says he slays him, and then Urokodaki goes at last, and you're like, you motherfucker.
Yes, okay, so watching that part, then I remember what you said the last episode about Urukadaki-san knowing about the demon. Okay, so I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt, and I'm gonna assume that he didn't know that he was painting targets on his kids' backs by giving them the masks. But at this point, he knew what he was doing.
And
Well,
it seems like, wait, what?
maybe he didn't know that that particular demon was the one that he had captured. Maybe he just thought it was a rogue demon.
Yeah, I don't think. Okay. Does it matter if he knew which specific demon? He knew that there was a demon killing all of his kids.
Well, seeing the track record of the amount of people that make it to the final, make it past the final selection, maybe he just thought that, oh, the students that I've been training just weren't up to snuff. They just couldn't make it the same way. Like, I assume there were at least like 30 to 40 people in this particular final selection, right? The one with Tanjiro?
Yeah, but
Yeah,
I think
so it's like a ten,
he
it's a 10%
knew.
success rate.
But
Maybe.
he knew there was a demon out there.
Oh yeah, he did.
And one of these demons, as we come to understand it, are demons with what we call blood demon art,
Yep, magic.
or basically super special demons, right? These are the guys with the powers beyond just being able to rush at you and bite your head off.
Do you think that that Hydra demon, the many-handed demon, was one of them? It seemed that he did have abilities. I don't know if it was Blood Demon Arts, but it was certainly something different from the regular demons. I don't know. Or do you think that was just a physical ability, not necessarily tied
Yeah,
to Blood Demon Arts?
I don't think it was blood demon art, right? Because I think that when we initially showed him being hunted down, he was pretty much a run-of-your-mill demon, right? Nothing special about him. It's only after eating, like, what, 50 kids that he became the way he was.
Well, they do develop them, you know. I don't think all of them start off with Blood Demon Arts. I think that they are able to gradually develop the abilities.
Okay, maybe. Maybe they're just like the demon slayers. They train long enough, they get
Or
abilities.
they eat enough people.
Yeah, that's training. I think it's
Yeah.
easy to eat kids.
No. We should try.
Go
I'm sorry, I'm tired. I don't know what I'm saying.
eat a child, Josh. You'll feel better.
Develop some blood demon arts.
15 business days later. It is sword time.
Oh wait, before those 15 days are up, we have a little bit of a tidbit about Nezuko, which we sort of guessed already, right? So instead of eating people, it seems that she's found a substitute method to recover her energy, and that is to sleep. 15 days later.
15 days later, and what we find is Haganezuka, the swordsmith. And this is, he is legit one of my. I love this guy. In terms of
He's
minor
great.
cameos
Yeah, he's great.
across the Demon Slayer, I just
Yeah.
love his cameos. He's so good.
You
So
like
he's
it? Do you
wearing
love his mask as well?
his Hyotto mask.
Yeah.
I actually like his Hyotto mask. And it's got these puckered lips, and they're really extended out. So it's like you imagine Urokodaki's Tengu mask with a long nose, but instead
Yeah.
of a long nose, he's got long lips, and the end of the lip is like blowhard, right?
He's ready to kiss.
That's right. And I love it because every time they show him getting worked up, he's almost blowing air out of those extended lips, so he looks like a trumpet. It's so funny.
He's ready to suck some lips.
Suck some lips, but I really like it. But then
Yeah.
he says, okay, now Spoiler alert for all of y'all who haven't watched it yet, but then again, it's not really my fucking fault. The show is 2 years old, right? So now, as we go further down in the later part of the episode, we'd learn something special that Tanjiro can do when he's fighting the spider demons, right? But it only clicks for me when I'm watching it here. And he says, "Oh, look, kid, your hair's red, your eyes are red, you have the mark of a family that works with fire." And it's just like, oh, interesting.
Yes. Foreshadowing.
Right?
Yep.
And it's a sort of foreshadowing that you only pick up on a second watch through, which is what I really like as well.
Yep.
So what do you make out of that statement, man?
What,
Yeah,
his red hair, his red
like you
eyes?
said, now him saying your family, it's a family that works with fire.
I don't know. I didn't really read too much into it,
Yeah.
at this point. I thought it was funny when he asked him if he was the son of so and so, and Tanjiro goes, no.
No.
But he also expected his sword color to be a certain way when he looked at the color of his eyes and his hair, because apparently every Demon Slayer's sword has a different color that changes according to their personality or whatever it is, or their future. I don't know.
That's right. Yeah, according to some personality trait that they have, it influences the color of their sword. And he was super excited. Haganezuka was super excited to give Tanjiro his sword because he'd never seen a red sword in his life. And he made the assumptions, red hair, red eyes, sword's going to be red. I can't wait. My body is ready. But then, lo and behold, when Tanjiro picks up his sword is black, like my soul. But we learned that it's actually quite rare to have a black sword.
But I don't know, I sort of picked up on the fact that it didn't feel like anything special. Like, you would think that a black sword is like, ooh, super cool, or once in a generation. I was expecting something like that, like a really like epic moment. But it changes black and they just go, huh, it's black. And then in fact Haganezuka, the swordsmith guy, gets super pissed off because he really wanted to see a red sword. And he goes like, what boring color is this? Why is it black? It's crap.
Yeah, what the fuck? And he starts beating Tanjiro up.
Yeah, he puts him in the submission
Yeah, and I love how.
because his sword didn't change to the color that he wanted.
Yeah, he lost his shit. And I love this part here because Tanjiro yells out, like, what the fuck? How old are you? Why are you doing this? He's like, I'm 37. And he keeps beating on him. But we will get interrupted because Tanjiro's on his first mission.
Yeah, the crow comes in.
Hey. That's right. A Kasugai crow flies by. Loud, annoying crow voices. But basically, Tanjiro has successfully completed his job interview. He is now a demon slayer and he's on to his first mission.
Yeah, that was a fast job request. He just got his katana.
Yeah, that's right.
No
Well,
rest for
for
the
sure,
wicked.
it must be quite an under-resourced business model that the demon slayers are running back there. But that was the episode, guys.
Yeah, that was the episode.
What'd you think about it?
It was good. It was good. I think they surreptitiously fit in quite a lot of information in this episode, even though it didn't feel like there was a lot revealed, but I think there were a lot of seeds planted. So we had everything from the information of like the swords. We found out that there's a ranking system within the core, and that means we know that there's a ladder to be climbed. We are given these new characters who we are almost certain will appear again in future episodes. Oh, and then of course the entire backstory of the demon that Tanjiro killed earlier in the episode, or in the last episode, and we find that this is going to be a continuing threat throughout Tanjiro's journey, because he's going to be shouldering the burdens of a lot more stories. So even though it felt fast, like it felt like there wasn't a lot being told, I think there was a lot that was shown. Yeah, enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's right. And I quite like the additional layer that there are also the seven kinds of demons, because then, just like how the demon slayers have job ranks, you also sort of have now a more formalized power structure, right? Are some kinds of demons more powerful than others? I don't know. They never explain them. But then you get a greater appreciation that there is hierarchy in ranks in these two organizations that are opposing each other.
Yep.
And there's also the fact that every door should be afraid of Nezuko as we continue through this season.
That's right. That's right.
But if you had to rank this episode, Josh, what would you give it?
Okay, I'm gonna rank this as Mizunoto.
Fuck you, goodbye.
Mizunoto.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye, bye bye,
Kanoto.
bye bye.
Kanoe. Tsuchinoto. Tsuchinoe. Hinoto. Hinoe. Hinoto. Hinoe.